It has been an interesting week. There has been blessings and there has been challenges all kind of rolled up together. But, you know, anytime that God moves, you have to expect the devil to try to counter what God is doing. Wednesday night, we because several of the men had to work late and do different things, we went ahead and canceled service. And then I began to find out that because of that, the reason was really that God had some other stuff that had to be done in the community. And I just felt like I couldn't leave town, and then certain things came up, and it was just a divine act of God, and we were able to help some folks, and because we were up in town, we were able to give them some things and to pray with them, and we still didn't get out of town until about 8 o'clock Wednesday night because there was kingdom business to be done. And see, that's why it's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that we're dealing with now is we need to understand the function of the Holy Spirit, and we need to begin learning to flow in Him, because when we flow in Him, everything gets better. Everything begins to turn out right. And last week, we learned that the Holy Spirit is Jesus come back simply in another form. That we have the Gospels not only to learn about Messiah, to learn what He has done for us. How many know the Gospel is a wonderful thing? Getting saved of sin is awesome. Being able to go to heaven is awesome. But at the same time, we have the detail in the gospel so that you could see how that Jesus functioned. Because He is going to function the exact same way in the form of the Holy Spirit. And we have a lot of things going on in the body of Christ that no more represents Jesus than the man on the moon, and it's being called the Holy Spirit, and it's either the flesh gone wild, or it's another spirit. And so I think that's the reason why we need to really understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be continuing on this morning with John chapter 14 and verse 17. In fact, there is a work that is being done in the earth that is trying to take everybody away from truth. Have you realized that? There was a thing recently in homeschooling that this one guy wrote this whole new series. It's supposed to, you know, most Christians went to homeschool, went to that modality to keep true with the Word of God, to keep the liberal garbage out of what it's doing to contaminate the minds of our children. And so now we have those very same people beginning to write the curriculum for homeschooling, and it has caused a ruckus. And one brother stood up against it. He was supposed to be the keynote speaker, and he simply was sharing what this is what the guy said. Here's his very words. And the response of the homeschooling organization was, you're not invited to all the rest of the year. You can't come, even though you're advertised as our keynote speaker. You can't come back. Well, you know why, don't you? M-O-N-E-Y. Let me tell you something. We're in a day. I'm seeing it progressively that they're trying to replace the foundations of the Word. The Bible says if the foundations be removed, what can the righteous do? That we have to have those foundations. And the Holy Spirit is about the foundations. He's about truth, bedrock truth that you never, ever alter from. And they're doing it with many of our new Bibles. That they are systematically, and you have people that have no reverence for God, translating the Word of God. And they try to make it politically correct. How many know politically correct is as far from the kingdom of God as you can get? In fact, one of the things that is one of my personal pet peeves is that they have pretty well taken the open Bible out of print. Because with the tools that are in it, you can dig into some truth, Jack. I mean, you can really dig into truth. And so we can't have that. We got to have these weak-kneed study Bibles that just placate sin and placate the flesh instead of routing the flesh and nailing it to the cross. That's why I've got one study Bible that I'm just praying that there is an anointing of the Holy Ghost on this thing, that it has the wherewithal, that the clothes that when the children were in the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes never wore out. I don't want this Bible to wear out because it cannot be replaced. They don't print it anymore. Isn't that a shame that what used to be the standard for preachers was taken out of print? it kind of shows what's going on. Now, listen to this in John 14 and 17. Even the Spirit of truth. You need to underline that in your Bible. Even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is only going to deal with truth. The moment you stop dealing with truth, you stop dealing with the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes when the Holy Spirit shows up, the prophecy begins to hit the fan. The Holy Spirit, if the truth is you need correction, He's going to give you correction. If you need encouragement, He's going to give you proper, balanced encouragement. But all the prophets of Baal, even when Israel was heading to hell in a handbasket, all the prophets of Baal were saying, "It's great! It's wonderful!" How many know that's another spirit? Whereas those that were being moved by the Spirit of God was saying, "You have left the ways of God. You're getting ready to hit judgment. You better change." The Holy Spirit does the opposite of what the Levites were doing in Malachi. The Levites in Malachi, they were judged because they were telling the people what they wanted to hear. The Holy Spirit is always about what you need to hear. Jesus, whenever He would go into a situation, He would say what needed to be heard, not what was popular. And so when the Spirit of truth comes, He is going to speak truth. Now notice what Jesus said, "Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him." Well, why do they know the Holy Spirit? Well, they've been walking with Him for the past 3 years in Jesus. Jesus taught them what was truth. He taught them the proper application of the commandments of God. He taught them to stay away from the traditions of men and stay true to what God said. And then He makes this marvelous statement. He says, "Now, for He dwelleth with you." That they've been walking with the Holy Spirit for the last 3 years and they were experiencing the Holy Spirit walking with them. But then He makes a statement that if you were a Jew living at that time, it would have absolutely knocked you to your knees. And He said, "And He's going to be in you." Almighty God going to be in me? Almighty God is going to move on the inside of me? The temple that we see in Israel, the outer court represents the flesh, the inner court represents the soul, and the Holy of Holies is your spirit or your heart. And where was the throne of God? Where was the Ark of the Covenant? In the heart. That whole thing was to show us that God wants to move on the inside of us. And I don't have to reach out to heaven. The moment that I'm saved, do you understand how the Holy Spirit works with this? He convicts the snot out of you, makes you feel like you're going to hell because you are, and makes you feel the flames of hell so that you cry out to Jesus. And the moment you do that, He goes from being with you, He moves on the inside of you, and He's the one who causes you to be born again. And the moment you're born again, He moves in. He moves into your spirit. And then He spends your whole life trying to work His way into your mind and begin to manifest Himself in your flesh. And if He's the one who convicted you and showed you your need for Jesus, and He's the one who caused you to be born again, the Bible says that when you're born again, in your spirit man, all the old things that were keeping you back are dead, and now all things in your spirit are new and of God. And now what He's trying to do once you get saved is He wants to bring truth to teach you, not how you were. Because how many know after you get saved, you need to stop functioning the way you were. You need to start functioning by the who you are now. And to function out of your spirit. And therefore, when He comes, He is going to bring truth. And the first truth is you realizing who you now are in Jesus, not who you used to be in the devil. Who you used to be in the devil needs to be crucified, needs to be put out of the way. That old dead man needs to be dead and gone because now Jesus is living inside our hearts. And if that be true, and if we are following the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the church universal, how come we're seeing everything but Jesus in the church is because we've been listening to another spirit that has been tweaking and deceiving us and not teaching us who we are in Jesus, but teaching us who we can be with the spirit of this world, with a religious veneer. When you look at what's going on, whether it's a Baptist church or whether it's a charismatic church or whether it's an Episcopal church, if you really ask, can I see Jesus doing this? Could you really put that on there? How many Baptist churches, now I can say this because I was raised Baptist and I was trained to be a Baptist minister, that you have believers, they get saved and they sit down and they never grow another lick. They think they got their golden ticket to get to heaven and they don't have to do a thing. They never grow in God. Well, if the Holy Spirit's operating in their lives, you're going to grow. He's going to lead you into truth. He's going to, you know, the ultimate truth is Jesus, yes, but then you have to add to that who Jesus is in you, what Jesus wants to do with your life, how to live for Him and to honor Him. I mean, the testimony in the body of Christ should not be, come get saved so you don't go to hell and sit here and do nothing just like me. He needs to, the reason that Micah can do some things he does in the workplace is this week Jesus stood up on the inside of him and said, that's enough. That if we're going to work, don't you guys know that our work is a worship to God? We honor Him by the way that we work. That's very Hebraic. Jesus needs to manifest Himself in every area of our lives. And let me tell you something, when He does, you don't get religious, you get happy, you get joyful, you get empowered. You become alive. Most people that are religious are the furthest thing from alive that I have ever seen. They look like they spend their life sucking on persimmons. They were baptized in bad vinegar. They're pickled. We're not supposed to be pickled. We're supposed to be salt in the earth. We're supposed to be a purifying agent in the earth. That means we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do His job. We have suppressed the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve Him not. Well, if you don't let Him do His job, you have grieved Him, man. If He can't teach you about Jesus and teach you how Jesus wants to live in you and how to bring joy and happiness to your life and teaching you that when you do the right things happen. Have you realized that? When you do the right things happen. When you do the wrong things happen. It's said this other way. Whatever man sows shall he also reap. We have most believers that live like the devil and are constantly wanting heaven to intervene in their lives. What you're wanting is God to pull out all the weed killer, kill everything you've done in your life since you've been saved, and try to give you a miracle crop of stuff you've never done. This word truth means objectively what is true in any matter with consideration truly and truth according to truth in reality. In reality, see, the last thing the devil wants you in is reality. You can't be deceived and be in reality. The moment that you enter into deception, you have ceased moving in any kind of reality. And how many know that we're living in a time that deception is the norm? Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, it's going to be when Jesus comes back. And what is interesting to me, if you look at the dichotomy of what's going on here, that which used to be done in secret, that Paul says it is shameful to even be mentioned what they do in secret, is now boasted proudly in the streets, and they're taking the righteous and commanding that we go in the closet. Don't you say truth. Don't you say what God says about stuff. Because that's hate. Yes, I do hate. I hate sin, and I hate the devil. To love God is to hate evil. You don't hate the people trapped by the evil. You hate the evil so they can be set free. Because if it hadn't been for the grace of God, there go I. Why do we have the situation that we need the Spirit of truth so much? Let me see if I can find this real quick, because we were dealing with it in a men's study. Just give me a second to find it. I think it's always amazing. Guys, help me out as to what in the first book of John, where men love darkness rather than truth. That's why they rejected Jesus. That's in John chapter 1.
John 3.
Oh, it's in John.
Yeah, 3:19.
There we go. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved what? Loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light. And we have darkness trying to snuff out the light and the very thing that you need. What kills germs? What kills infection? Did you know that there's something in light called ultraviolet light that is one of the, that is the greatest sanitizing agent that is known? That ultraviolet light will sterilize anything, will kill any work of darkness, is light. And yet the world loves darkness, and a good part of the church say that they're engaged to Jesus to be his bride, but they're still dating darkness. You can't date darkness and have the Holy Spirit working in your life. What you do is you open the door for another spirit that will pretend to be light. What does the Bible say? Satan appears as an angel of light, but he always leads you into darkness. And there's a lot of people being led into darkness because they are not being led by the Holy Spirit, because they do not want to know truth. And I've gotten to the place, I want truth. I want truth more than anything else. I don't care if it's happy truth, hard truth, truth that first makes me depressed. I like, there was a guy named Jamie Buckingham, which was a great charismatic preacher. And he wrote a book called "The Truth Will Set You Free, But It Will Make You Miserable First." Because when you point out sin, that sin says, "Don't look! Don't look! You don't want to see that. It's unpleasant. Don't look at that." None of us like to be told we're wrong. But how many know that when you started your life that everything was wrong before Jesus entered in? There's probably just a few things the Holy Ghost needs to talk to you about. Amen? We need to let him do that. Now let's go back. Let's go on down to John 14:26. Now I love how Jesus connects this to, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." That there's comfort. Now this is what we, have we ever seen believers that are just running from meeting to meeting, just looking for something because they really can't get any comfort? They want something to get their minds off of stuff. So, you know, so if you have strobe lights and fog machines in the church and you do all these crazy things that distract you, they distract you from your miserability. They distract you momentarily. I've been in meetings, and how many know that we know what the presence of God is here? And I've been in meetings that, I mean, they're jumping up and down, they're bucking like Broncos, and they're just about rolling in the floor, and God is not there. He's not there. But what they have done is they have done all these things and they are distracted from how miserable they are. And the last thing you want is one of them laying hands on you, because I don't need slime on me, thank you very much. I know what truth is. And when the Bible says God, if he loves you, he's going to correct you. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to teach you, Jesus always had the tenacity to tell people just really like it was. How would you like to be greeted in a meeting and Jesus was here and you were a Pharisee? He says, "Hey, the snakes and vipers have showed up. You got to be more religious than they are to enter into the kingdom." He did that not only for the people's sake, but for those Pharisees' sake. He would call a spade a spade. Now, isn't that just warm fuzzy when Jesus would welcome you into a meeting like that? But that's the same way the Holy Spirit does, that his comfort comes through his teaching us, and it goes back to Torah. What is holy? What is unholy? What is right? What is wrong? What is clean? What is unclean? Anything unclean brings hell into your life. Anything clean brings heaven. And we have dismissed, well, there's no, everything's gray now. There's no clean or unclean. Well, you just took away the ministry of the Holy Spirit and you just told God that you know more than He does. And then you run around and you have no comfort. You see, comfort is, now maybe you guys have never been in this situation, but it seems like everything's going wrong and there's flack for it, but you're standing in a place that you know you did the right thing. Even though maybe everybody else was mad around you because that's not what they wanted, but you know in your heart that it was right and that it was just. And even though there's like a storm loosed around you, you're in the midst of that in comfort because you know what? I did the right thing. I did what was right. And God will justify me because I did what was right in His sight. Isn't that a whole lot better than following a crowd getting ready to walk off into off a cliff someplace? Oh, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now that word teach there in the Greek means to teach, to hold discourse with others, to instruct them, to deliver didactic discourse, to teach, to impart instruction, to instill doctrine into something. The Holy Spirit wants to be active in continually teaching you. But what's He going to teach you? What do you guys have in your lap? The Word of God, right? Now, I want to show you something real interesting about the Word. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, verse 19. People sometimes listen to the way that I teach and said, well, it's because you're so highly educated. The education, all it did was sharpen the tools and maybe do a little bit for me. But I tell you what, the greatest thing that has unfolded my understanding of the Word is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. Because I know educated men that can present a great oration, but there's no life in the thing. There's no revelation of God in that. It's just words to them. I mean, this book is not just words. This is words of life to me. When I'm in trouble, God said He sent His Word and healed them. This Word has healing in it. This Word has life in it. This Word has instruction in it. Now look what Peter said about this. And he says, now we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old by the will of men. Prophecy, all the writings of the prophets, the writings of the Torah, the writings of all the Old Testament, the writings of the New Testament were not done by the will of men. It was done by the will of God, as men were moved on by who? The Holy Spirit. The same. So the guy who anointed, inspired, and made men that were yielded to Him to write the very words that you have in that book is the same one who moved into you to make that word come alive to you. You're not having a secondary teacher come in and teach you something. I remember one time I got to go up to the Assemblies of God and my pastor back then had worked at the headquarters for us, so he knew everybody. And there's one guy, Dr. Stanley Horton, that there are certain things out of the Bible that, I mean, just the Holy Spirit taught him, and he kind of cries his class. That it's like when he teaches on Jeremiah, it's like he is the weeping instructor weeping with Jeremiah because it's so real to him. And one of the things they said is, you know, when you sit underneath that class, you cry that entire semester because by the time he's done with that class, you're crying with the prophet because you can feel the heart of God. You can feel the heart of the prophet as he's teaching that. Now imagine if one of his students came in and tried to teach the class he wrote. I mean, no, it doesn't quite have the same bang to it. It doesn't quite have the same oomph to it. That's the difference when you have men trying to teach that word that the Holy Spirit has not taught them. You see, when the Holy, what I'm hoping that you do when I teach is you can hear His voice in my voice. When you hear His voice in my voice, it counts. Because what it does is it witnesses with you. He's trying to teach you. And has anybody ever been studying something during the week you had a big question mark about? That the next Sabbath, I'll answer that question and I never knew what it was. Or we may do it on Wednesday night. We'll get into some discussion that might seem like it is far from what we are even dealing with in that scripture, but it will answer the question that you had. It's because the Holy Spirit will use different sources to be if you're open to Him to teach you. And here's the thing, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. You got to choose to follow Him, just like in the Bible we see that Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you. That when the Holy Spirit convicts you of Jesus, it's the same call. I'm going to birth you into the kingdom, and as you follow me, just as these men walked with Jesus and He taught them day in and day out, and He had a process of making them into mighty men of God over that 3.5 year period, so the Holy Spirit wants to do with you. But you got to yield to the process and you've got to invite Him to do it. If you say, Holy Spirit, I don't, you know, it's like I'm new to the Word. I don't understand anything. As you begin to say, this teach me, He'll start teaching you some elementary things. And once He gets that established, then He can add some other things to it. But you got to get some foundational things. Man, you got to know what is black and what is white, what is clean, what is unclean, what is holy, what is unholy. I mean, most of the body of Christ don't have that down. We want to make everything gray. You know what gray is when you take black and white and you mix it together? How many know the very first day when God created the heavens and the earth, He separated the light from the darkness. Don't blend them back together. Because when He separated them, He called it good. And so when you mix it all together, He called it a mess. And that's why so many believers are in a mess, is because they've mixed light and darkness together. And when the Holy Spirit is injected into situation, the first thing He wants to do is to separate the light from the darkness. Let Him. Because He wants to teach you. Because the first thing Jesus did, Jesus started teaching His disciples, and He had to unteach them all the things that the spiritual leaders of that time had taught them, and He was constantly correcting their teachings, never the Bible. He'd always say, you have heard it said. I mean, that was what the Pharisees taught and the Sadducees taught and the different ones. And He said, you have heard it said, but you know what? I'm going back to the Word and this is what I say. He had to unteach them before He could teach them. He had to separate the doctrines of men from the doctrines of God. The Holy Spirit in this hour, He needs to do that in levels that we can't even understand, because the church right now is walking more in darkness than it is light. And it's looking for things to entertain, not things to correct. It don't want to be corrected, it wants to be entertained. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. And guys, I can speak on this not just on the layman's level. I have been to meetings that were Christian educators, high intellectuals that had pedigrees far beyond my own. And as I listened to them speak, the one thing that rose up in my spirit is, that feller needs to get saved. He's talking about what he don't know about. You see, I can talk about Jesus because I know Him. I know Him. I have walked with Him. He has done some real stuff in my life, and that is a testimony. Amen? That what He has done is a testimony. And these people are testifying about stuff they don't know. Now, let's look and see what the Apostle Paul says here. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him this morning? You can't begin to comprehend what God's prepared for you. That ought to get you excited right there. If you love God, He's got some stuff prepared for you that is beyond your imagination. That's not just talking about in the hereafter. I mean, I'm going to get blown away when I get to heaven, because no matter how great I think it is, it's going to be about a million times greater than that. I mean, it's going to make sci-fi look like it was this stupid stuff. No matter how great you can make it think. I've heard testimony of can you imagine a beautiful flower that's singing the praises of God? It sings. and you pluck it, and it keeps on singing. And when you set it back down, it immediately embeds itself back into the ground, and it's still alive, and it continues to live, because in heaven there's no such thing as death. The colors are more real. Did you know that science constantly, guys, if I could just get you to see some of these things. You know, the Bible says that the stars sing praises. They give worship to God. And the Bible rebukes you. Why are you worshiping the things that worship God? Why not worship the same thing that they're worshiping? Did you know that science has recently discovered that there is an electromagnetic field, that there is a harmonic released by it in the universe, and every single star has its own unique song that it releases into the universe? Isn't that amazing that the prophets of God were able to write that of old, when they didn't even know that there was a unique magnetic resonance given by each star by the thermal dynamics and the nuclear fission that is going on inside that star? Each one gives its own unique voice. And if you could hear all of them and back up, it would be the most magnificent choir that ever existed. All creation worships Him. Oh. There is so much stuff that he wants to reveal to us. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The very things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for you, the Spirit of God within you will reveal them to you. That's why when the Spirit of God begins to move, you may have sickness and disease or something functioning in your body, and the Spirit of God starts whispering in your ear, you don't have to have that. It's not supposed to be there. The world tells you, you can't do that. You can't have that. Who do you think you are? And the Spirit of God says, I created you to have that. I created you to do that. And that you're a child of the living God, and that you don't function in that kingdom. You're no longer in slavery to Pharaoh, but you are a citizen of heaven itself. And that when you pray, heaven begins to move. Oh. We need to give the Holy Ghost His due. And we need to let Him function the way He's supposed to function. And sometimes He won't scream. He's like Elijah, that when you're in the midst of the storm and there's like a hurricane out there and there's a whirlwind of fire, and that's all the things that try to get your attention, He speaks in a still small voice in your heart and says, it don't have to be that way. Speak to the storm. Speak to the storm and tell it, Almighty God has said, be still. Oh. He said, I can't imagine these things. You don't have to. God has a bigger imagination than you. But the God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know where I get my deep stuff? I don't get it in a book. I don't get it in the lexicons. I don't get it in the Greek and Hebrew. I get it because the Holy Spirit speaks it into my life. And most of the time when I'm thinking through these things and the Holy Spirit is teaching me, if you could see me in the Spirit, most of the time I'm sitting there with my jaw open. Well, I never saw this before in my life. That's because it's of God. And there's some deep things the Holy Spirit wants to show you, but you have to get out in the kiddie pool with Him first and let Him show you the elementary things before He can get deep. Because you have to have a foundation to stand on. You have to know who Jesus is. You have to know without a shadow of a doubt that this book is the Word of God. And when God says it is right forever. If He said it's wrong forever. I don't care how big a crowd that you get that say that it's right. Jesus said in the last days, and the Word says in the last days, they will call good evil and evil good. You better go back to the book. You got to go back to the book, guys. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save a spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. I want you to read that with me right now. This needs to be your confession. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. We have not received the spirit of this world. We reject the spirit of this world, but we receive the spirit of God. You see, the spirit of the world wants to teach you too. It wants to teach you too. It wants to teach you in the ways of darkness. It wants to teach you in the ways of being politically correct. It wants to teach you in how to manipulate people and to do all the things to do the things that hedge up the flesh to your destruction, where the Holy Spirit's wanting you to learn to crucify the flesh and free your spirit, man, so that you can really have some life and really have some joy in this life now and a whole lot more in the life to come. But you got to reject the spirit of this world and embrace the spirit of the living God. Look what it says, and it says that, but we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is up from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There's a lot the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. You got to ask Him and yield to it. He wants to freely teach you the things that heaven has freely, without reservation, given into your life. But you can never walk in unless you know them. Ignorance does not work in the kingdom. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you can't exercise faith in things that you don't know. You see, there are a lot of Christians today that don't know that God heals. Do you know they're never going to be bothered with it? And sometimes the way they pray and their theologies are against each other. I was raised in a denomination, a Baptist group, that they teach that sickness and disease is the will of God. And the first time any of them get any of it, they ask everybody to pray that sickness and disease would be stopped. But I thought it was the will of God. So you want me to pray against the will of God? Can you see how your theology and the practicality don't line up? If you automatically respond in your spirit, I want these things to change, I don't want this, maybe it's not of God. Because if you say sickness and disease are the will of God, then Jesus went around His entire life, in His entire ministry, violating the known will of God. Every place He went, people got whole. They got healed. Can you see that sometimes what our doctrines of men will get you? We need to treat sickness and disease like the enemy that it is. Give it no place in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit teach us how to fight those things and to drive them out the same way that Jesus drove them out. I don't know about you, but I want to go do like Jesus. The book of Acts says He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. That means heaven believes that when somebody is healed, that it's good. Amen. Now, let's go on further. Verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in the words of men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Holy Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither shall he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I hear guys lecturing all the time in the wisdom of men, and it grieves my spirit. Because they're trying to call natural things and make it sound a little spooky, and then call it spiritual. God, when He does everything, the baseline, guys, is the miracle of the new birth. The miracle of Jesus forgiving sin, the shed blood of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus, that is the spiritual entry point into the kingdom, and everything flows from that. And if it denies that, it's not of God. If it denies the blood of Jesus, if it denies that sin is sin and needs to be forgiven, if it denies that Jesus is Lord and everyone is going to have to give an account to Him for sin, you're not dealing with spiritual things. You're dealing with earthly things. So how many know the foundation? The cross. The blood of Jesus. The reality of sin, the need for forgiveness of sin, the power and the majesty in the name of Jesus. If you can get those things down, and the Holy Spirit wants to teach you that, that every demon has to bow when the name of Jesus comes out your lips. Of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. It doesn't matter how you feel that day when you speak it. What matters is the name. Because that name does not represent you, that name represents Him. And it's who He is at the moment and has always been, and He is unchanging. And therefore, when His name comes out your lips, it is Him that is released into that situation, not you. That's why we can be moved by faith. I don't move by how I feel. I don't be moved by the circumstances. I am moved by the majesty of the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit wants to make that name real to you. Let's go back to John. John chapter 15. John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Here he is calling him the Spirit of truth again. So if there's anything but really truth or reality being loosed in your life, is it the Holy Spirit? No. If the Holy Spirit is, you know, somebody's saying, I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit, you can go ahead and stay just the way you are, and you never have to change anything, and God's going to fix everything in your life, and you're never ever going to have to change, that isn't the Holy Ghost. The reason that things change and get better is you start living by the kingdom of God. Now, he goes on to say, but he says, and he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the very beginning. That word testify means to witness, to affirm what one has seen, heard, or experienced, to know it because taught by divine revelation or inspiration, to utter honorable testimony, to give a good report. The Holy Spirit is always, he will never draw attention to himself. He always points to Jesus. If they say the Holy Spirit is moving and it's some pseudo-spiritual, spooky kind of thing, and Jesus is nowhere in the mix, it is not the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of darkness does not want you to pay attention to Jesus. It'll say, oh, looky over here, isn't that weird? Oh, looky over here, isn't that really interesting? And it'll do everything it can do to keep you from centering up on Jesus. But the moment the Holy Spirit begins to speak, he says, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what he has done for you. Let me tell you about what he wants to do for you. Learn Jesus, the Holy Spirit cries out. Because when you look at Jesus, you see a man that separated light from darkness and good from evil and clean from unclean all the time. You see, that's the litmus test. It's not about a spiritual experience. It's about experiencing Jesus. The enemy loves to give you all this nebulous kind of stuff, you know, that you get all caught up in it, and, oh, I got goosebumps, and I got this, and I had visions. Was it about Jesus? No? Well, then, how about it not being of God? He's going to testify. He's going to bear witness of what Jesus has done, that Jesus came, lived the perfect life, that he gave his life on the cross, that he died for your sins. He was absolutely innocent. You were absolutely guilty, yet he died for you to set you free. And now what he wants to do, he wants to move in and set you free in every area and start living just like he lived. That's the testimony of Jesus. He wants to bear witness. Now let's go on to John 16, starting with verse 7. And here we're going to find a three-pronged ministry, some of the litmus test of if it's the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of sin. If we have churches that it's just like, it's all right. No, it's not. Because he will reprove the world of sin. The Holy Ghost will always cause sin, sin, no matter how many people like it, no matter how many people hate it. He doesn't care. What he cares about is truth, and sin will always be sin, and he is here to reprove you of your sin, Jack. That word reprove in the Greek means to convict, to refute, to confute. Generally with the suggestion of shame of the person convicted. By conviction, to bring to light, to expose, to find fault with, to correct. To reprehend severely, to chide, to admonish, to reprove, to call to account, to show one his fault. Demand an explanation. The Holy Ghost is going to come into the world and say, I demand an explanation of why you rejected Jesus. I demand an explanation of why you embraced sin and not the cross. I demand an explanation. I demand it. I am Almighty God. You're accountable to me, and I demand that you give an account to me for what you have done with the gospel. There are a lot of preachers today that I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, because they're going to have a given account to do exactly, they have done exactly what the Levites have done in Malachi. They pervert the truth of God to please the people. You know what? I have decided, sometimes I've kind of actually done this for real, but I don't care if I make the whole world mad as long as Jesus is happy. You may pick up the stones to stone me, but only he can give me the power to walk through your midst, and you can't touch me. The Holy Spirit is here to reprove the world of sin. And if we're not calling sin, sin, it isn't the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit, a spirit of compromise. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Of righteousness. Now Jesus goes on to say, says, because of sin, because they believe me not, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Did you ever kind of wonder what he was talking about there? Jesus, righteousness means doing the right thing. Doing acts of righteousness. Doing the commandments of God properly by love and by the anointing of the Spirit of God. That's how Jesus did everything. And Jesus said, for the last 3.5 years, you have seen me do righteousness over and over and over again. But now I'm leaving, so the Holy Spirit's going to have to come to teach you how to do that which is righteous the same way that I did it. Because I'm going to the Father. If the Spirit of God, if what you call the Spirit of God is not teaching you how to do the commandments of God, you're not dealing with the Spirit of God. And if I had a dollar for every time I had believers tell me, well, the Spirit of God is showing me this, and it's absolutely opposite of the Word, and it's the flesh, and it is carnal, and it is sin, and boy, their flesh is all into it, but woo, and you do, and they do it, and it brings destruction to life. If I had a dollar for every time that I have seen that, I could build us a $3 million building today and not have to borrow a penny. Because that has become the norm. People call their flesh the Holy Ghost. And the moment the Holy Ghost shows up, they're trying to rebuke him in the name of Jesus because they don't like the way it makes them feel. Well, how many know that if you're standing in darkness and you got yuck up to here and somebody turns the light on and you're the one been pulling it in, it's not going to feel very good. But then when you look down and you find out that it is pig manure that you have been wallowing in and calling it the glory of God, it may be the very thing that sets you free. You know what? I don't want this anymore. Hey, you got a brain. It's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Nobody wants to talk about judgment. The Holy Ghost's job is to saying, here come the judge. Here come the judge. You better get it right with sin. You better learn how to walk in righteousness. Goes, here come the judge. Why are Christians afraid of judgment? Because they've not been reproved of sin. They've not learned how to walk in righteousness, and judgment scares the holy fire out of them. But the Bible says the righteous rejoice in judgment. if you're right, you don't got to flee from the light. And when the judge turns on the light and says, let's take a look at stuff by my standards, you can say, whew, let's do it right now. Right now. Because I may have me a little thing of black right here that I've not been able to see yet, but you know what? I've been trying to scrub myself with that fuller soap and that fuller brush just as hard as I can, because I know the king is getting ready to come into his court. And when he comes into his court, he better find more of him in you than the devil in you. Oh, I'm about ready to give you a power word. I want you to look at verse 11. Now, let's take it, start with verse 9. Of sin, because they have believed not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Underline that in your Bible. Every time you cast out the devil, you say, Jack, you've already been judged. You get. You see, because I have been reproved of sin, because I have been learning to walk in righteousness, I can look the devil in the face and say, you have no power here. Your power has already been judged. And the reason that we have Christians with no power is they won't clean up the sin and they won't walk in righteousness. They would rather walk in their own ways because it is convenient. Convenience will send you to hell and make your life on earth a hell while you're trying to get to heaven. And the whole time you're saying, why is God letting this happen to me? He's not! Don't pin that on God. It's your own stubbornness for not allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin and to teach you how to walk is why you're in the mess you're in. God wants to get you out of the mess and get you to the place that you start causing the devil to have a mess on his hands, because everywhere he tries to go, he has no power. He is simply judged and pushed down underneath your feet where he belongs. You can't walk in that authority if you don't let the Holy Ghost do the first two in your life. That's why it's so important to understand who he is and what he does. You see, when Jesus got through with the disciples, they were raising people from the dead. Now, he didn't give a tryout and say, now, you can be my disciple, but we got this old corpse here, and if you can raise him from the dead, you can be my disciple. They did that after he did his work in their life. And there's some things in your lives, guys, that the devil has thought that he has killed. I'm speaking prophetically now. There are some things in your life, some hopes, some dreams, some purpose, some destiny that the devil thought he absolutely killed in your life. If you let Jesus take the flesh and nail it to the cross, Jesus can resurrect that which the enemy has killed. Jesus has got better things for you. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Now he goes on, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, and you cannot bear them now. How many know that God only can speak to you where you are? Is that too deep? If you're at level 1, God can't speak to you at level 5. And so the disciples, even though they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, they were still at level 1. I can't share with you now some things I want to share. But you see, as the Holy Spirit works on you and he moves you from faith to faith and from glory to glory, when you get there, he can share it with you. He turns up the volume on the Word of God. He turns up the power on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit wants to do more in your life than you want him to do in your life. You can't even begin to realize what he wants you to walk in. It's beyond your comprehension until he gives you the comprehension to see it. And he's got to take you from first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade. God doesn't let people skip grades. And there are a lot of believers that have been in the way for 40, 50, 60 years that are still in kindergarten because they won't let the Holy Spirit do his job. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Oh, that's on so many different levels. How many know that if you knew what the stock market was going to do next year, you could position yourself to really prosper this year? At the same time, what God wants to do, he wants to show you the possibilities of what he can do in your life so that faith can raise up and push down and to bring judgment on the things the devil has built in your life, because what you're living right now may not very well be God's perfect will in your life. It's the devil's will of suppression in your life, and he's got to show you without that suppression, and you begin to tweak your life and to repent and to begin to move in righteousness. And as you do, these things are judged and they're pushed down underneath your feet, and you begin living the reality of the hope that he builds within you. So this is not just talking about prophetic vision. It's talking about vision of who you could be and what Jesus wants to take you. Because if you never see it, you can never begin the journey to get there. And what we have not understood is that when God shows it to us, he shows us the possibility so that we begin taking the actions under conviction and righteousness and judgment to get there. That there has to be a corresponding action of building what he's showing within our lives. And when I do that, then the Holy Spirit can begin teaching me step by step. Repent of this, judge this, change this, do this. And as I do, he begins building me to become what he showed me that I could be. You need to let the Holy Spirit give you a vision of where he wants you. You see, if Mary and I just went by the way things were, it was sorry, wasn't it, baby? It was sorry with a capital S. But at the same time, God began to tweak and say, you know what? It can be different. And as we got the hope of it being different, then we could begin changing things in us to move toward that difference. Every once in a while, we kind of go back to the way things were for a minute. We think, oh, this isn't good. Let's go back up here where we were, you know. Because it's easy to do, that in that one situation you respond with the old instead of with the new. But he's let God show you. You know, if you have something wrong in your body, you need to let the Holy Spirit give you hope. Biblical hope is God's blueprint of faith. He's got to show you the possibility so that your faith can rise up. If you have sickness and disease, you've got to begin seeing yourself whole. And then let the Holy Spirit teach you the steps on how to get there and to maintain it. If you see yourself in a different place financially, let God show you how to function in that place financially and to change all the stupid things the world has taught us to do that keep us broke. I know that if you use divine wisdom with finances, finances begin to change dramatically in your life. We got to let him give us that hope, and then faith can rise, and faith is action. Faith is saying, okay, here's the goal, and I got to do this, 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 and this to get here. So I'm starting to put I'm putting my faith in action. I'm changing stuff. I'm repenting of stuff that I would have never thought of repenting of because I'd never realized it was holding back against the hope that the Holy Spirit put within me. You got to start allowing the Holy Spirit to give you vision. The Holy Spirit wants to speak heaven, and he wants to reveal the things to come, not just all the dark prophetic things. How many know that we're in the end of days? And I mean, there is a lot of prophecy getting ready to hit the fan. I know that, but what I want to learn how to do is how to walk in the midst of it and it not touch me. I want to learn how to walk victorious until Jesus comes and calls my name. I want to go out in a blaze of glory because the world and the junk it was doing and the judgment that was falling on it isn't falling on me because I ain't of this world. I don't have to take it. I don't have to be a part of it. And God can spot judge. He can pour judgment all around me and destroy everything around me. But I'm that one tree that even though an atom bomb goes off and everything is dead and gone, I'm that one tree standing in the midst of it with green leaves because it couldn't touch me because I walked with God. God will always have a Goshen when he judges Egypt for his people. You have got to have the gumption to get into Goshen by moving by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now I want the praise and worship team to come up, and I want us to sing the song, Here I Am. You guys don't know it, but just let it be a prayer as they sang that this morning. Because I think what we need to do more than anything else is just surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, do your thing in our lives.